Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, and let's look at verse 9 and 10. I'm gonna use a lot of scripture tonight, so don't get too nervous when I quote a lot of scripture, but and I'll be showing you different things. But and when I finally get going, we'll end up in Revelation chapter 20. That's where the bulk of my thing will be tonight. But there's a few things I want to share with you before I get to it. Notice in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Remember they came to Jesus and he said, how should we pray? He said, I'll teach you how to pray. Look what Jesus said. After this man, how many are in Matthew 6, 9? After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed. What's that mean? That means holy. He's holy. Hallowed be thy name. Look at verse 10. Thy kingdom come. How many see that? Thy will be done in earth as in heaven. Yeah, because see, when he brings a kingdom down to the earth, it's going to be run just like it's up running up in heaven. It's going to be exciting. Let's have a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for my church. I sure love them. Thank you for people that love you and serve you and, Father, are faithful. Help us, Father. And Lord, I would to God that you could do a miracle this week. God, if it be possible, do a miracle for that church building, for the school. Father, please, I beg you to do what man cannot do. Dear God, I just pray that we would see the hand of God in a special way. I pray for next Sunday services that you'd bless Brother Marty Gannat and all that are here. And it'd be a day that they'll never forget. A day of honor, but a day of also looking to Christ and thanking Christ for all that he's done for us. Pray people would be saved. I think about Brother Ray McDaniels right now, Lord. Would you just bless Brother Ray? Oh God, reach down from heaven. Touch him with the hand of God. Lord, we love Ray so much. Help Ray to be able to breathe. Help him to feel better. Bless Linda. I know she still struggles with her feet and stuff. And Lord, just bless the whole family. Be close to them and help them in everything they need. Lord, be with Mildred Clifford when Tuesday morning for the surgery on her, on the cancer, Lord. I pray that that'll go well. And God, touch Annie Davis. Lord, we love her so much. What a precious saint of God. Be with her, Lord, and let her stay with us longer. Would to God, her and Grandma Lumley could stay with us to the rapture. And Lord, just bless Annie Saylor. Lord, touch Annie. Make her well. Help her to get back in the fight. Help her to get on the back in there helping with the ABL club and everything. Just bring her back. We need her. And we'll praise you. Lord, tonight, I know this is what you put in my heart. Help me to be a blessing to the people, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You notice there in verse 10, Jesus told his disciples to pray for the kingdom to come. He said, pray, thy kingdom come. And I wrote this down, a question. Do we look forward to the time of when Jesus will rule and reign on this earth? Are we looking forward to the kingdom? A lot of people, they don't want to talk about the kingdom and they don't want to talk about the rapture. Man, preacher, I just want to live my life. I can't wait till Christ comes and sets up his kingdom. Amen? If you're really walking with God, you should want what God wants. And he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen? So we see that Christ told the disciples to pray for the kingdom to come. Now, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1. We'll look at verse 3, but verse 6 and 7 is what I want. But look at verse 3. Jesus has risen from the grave. Aren't you glad you got a risen Savior? Amen. Proven that he's the real Savior. He's a reigning Savior. And one day soon he's going to be the returning Savior. Amen? Amen. But if you look at verse 3 of Acts 1, to him also he showed himself alive. I like that. He's alive. He's alive. You know, why don't we become alive? Bunch of dead Christians. We ought to be alive for Christ. To whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. That's a big word, infallible. That means there's no way they could prove that he wasn't. It's positive that he was here, that he walked this earth 40 days after the resurrection. And being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to what? The kingdom of God. Oh, wow. Now look at verse 6 and 7, Acts chapter 1. See, the Lord wants that kingdom. When they therefore, talking about the disciples, were come together, how many are in Acts 1, 6? They asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Hey, Lord, are you going to do it now? Now that you've been crucified and risen and reigning, and now you show them you're the real God of heaven? Are you going to do it now? Are you going to kick those Romans out, Lord? Let's get them. Let's go put a herd on them. Are you going to set the kingdom up right now? And look what Jesus said. See, the disciples actually thought, because Jesus always talked about the kingdom, and he'd already died in the resurrection and been on this earth before. They just, Mark, we'd have thought it too. They said, Lord, you're going to kick the Roman government out and restore your kingdom? Look what he said in verse 7. And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. And so Jesus said, don't worry about that kingdom age. I'll let you know when it's going to happen. And it'll happen when at the right appointed time. Now, tonight I want to share with you just three thoughts. It'll be more than three thoughts, but I wrote down three. I wrote down three thoughts for us to think about tonight about the kingdom. When is the kingdom age going to start? When is it? How long will it last? And what will it be like? And so I'm going to share some things with you tonight. Let's take the first one. Don't lose your maps. I'm going to be with that map right now. When will the kingdom age come? How many have got that map? Okay, look up the preacher. Now, I don't have that on a right scale as far as, but see, you see where it says 4,000 years? On mine, I got Adam. I don't know if Adam got on there or not, and yours or not. But when Adam was the first man, man's not been here billions of years. I chuckle every time I hear these people on TV. Well, the Cro-Magnon man was 5 billion years ago. Hello? Amen. We've only been here 6,000 years. Amen. We started with a man named Adam in the Garden of Eden. The Old Testament covers 4,000 years. Man has only been on this earth for approximately a little over, right around 6,000 years. So you got Adam, then 4,000 years, and then the cross. Here comes Jesus, because the Old Testament covers 4,000 years. Now, that's not a good scale, but that's how when I made the paper up, that's how it worked out. How many understand what we're doing? It's more what I wrote that I want you to see than the scale of it. And then, so you had the 4,000 you can put in there. Why don't I do this, Eddie? Everybody, put above that 4,000, put OT, Old Testament. That's back where Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses, Jeremiah, Isaac. How many are with me? Daniel, Ezekiel, all the Old Testament. So put down in that 4,000 years until Jesus came, you had 4,000 years. Then Jesus came. And when he was around 33 and a half years old, Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, as the girl sang just a little few minutes ago. He died for us. Aren't you glad he did? At a place called Calvary. And so then you've got Calvary at that cross. And then for the last 2,000 years, Eddie, you have the Christian era, or you could say the church age. All right? How many are with me? There's seven dispensations of time. I'm not going to be able to teach all the seven dispensations tonight, but I am giving you a little map of how things are going to go. And then, Brother Philip, we're in the church age right now. And the very next thing, and look up here, let me mark. Here's how close I think we are to that arrow going up. I think we're right here. I think we're right on it. I think we're so close that it's unbelievable. We're so close it could happen while I'm teaching you this. That's how close we are to the rapture. And if you notice, we go up. 1 Thessalonians 4 says we go up in the clouds. We meet Christ in the air. And the Bible don't say the word rapture, calls it a mystery. The Christian calls it the rapture. It's a snatching up, a calling up, a taking up. And the only ones that are going up are those that are saved. You got to be born again, washed in the blood of Christ to go up. So, now look up here. Everyone look up here. After that rapture that's going to be any moment, there's going to be the worst time that the world's ever seen. It's called the tribulation, 7 years. Look at Matthew chapter 24. I didn't have this plan. After the rapture, you're going to have the worst time that the world's ever seen. I think it's verse 21. Can you help me, Bobby? Matthew 24, 21. Is that it, Robert? Robert, stand up and read that. Tell them where you're at.
Matthew 24, 21. For then there shall be a great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be.
Yeah. There's coming a time, the worst time in all human history is coming. The tribulation, there's never, from Adam to when it happens, there's never been going to be a greater judgment, a worse time on earth than those 7 years. And by the way, not before or not after. This is going to be the worst 7 years in the history of mankind. It's called the tribulation. It's broke up in two. It's a 7 year segment. It's broken up in two, three and a half year segments. First 3.5 years, it'll be pretty good. And then the second 3.5, though, it's going to be the worst of all the great judgments. And that's when in the middle of the trib, the Antichrist is going to go in Jerusalem in the temple that they're going to build. And he's going to proclaim himself as God. So that's 7 years of tribulation. And then at the end of that 7 years, then we got the second coming. Here's another name for that second coming. Revelation. It's called the revelation of Jesus Christ. You can put in there above that where it says second coming. When Jesus comes back, that's called the revelation of Jesus. That's when he's going to be revealed. That's when the whole world's going to see him. See, in the rapture, the only people are going to see him are Christians. The lost world, they're going to know we're gone, but we're going to see Christ in the clouds, but they're not. It's a mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall all sleep, but be changed in a moment of twinkling at the last trump. The lost world's going to say, what on earth is going on? They're going to say, UFOs got us. I'll tell you right now what they're going to say. I know what they're going to say. They're going to say, man, those UFOs come down, and they took these people, these troublemakers, these fundamental Baptists that caused all trouble. They got them out of here. Now we can really have a good earth. Get rid of them rich skivers. Those hellfire brimstone preachers. We're going to come, and guess what? We're going to be coming back with them. And that's in, you can write Revelation chapter 19 right there. That's when he comes back. And why don't you turn to the book of Revelation. Look at Revelation 1:7. You will see, it's talking about Christ coming back in his revelation. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. By the way, the first three chapters are written to the churches. Then you got chapter 4 is the rapture. And it's the book of Revelation, it's not hard to understand. It's chronologically written. Everything's right in order. Everything is right in order. And then you got the tribulation. You got the seven. And when you get from 4 on, it's all trib. Up to chapter 19. Then you got, how many ever heard the Battle of Armageddon? That's when we're coming back on white horses with Christ. And that's his Armageddon, is when he comes back in his revelation. And the whole world's going to see him. Look at Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh what? With clouds. And every eye shall see him. How many see that? They don't see him at, Sean, they don't see him at the rapture. We're just snatched out of here. They wonder, what on earth is going on? The guy wrote that song the last Sunday. What on earth is going on? And they're going to wonder what it, but then they won't see Christ at the rapture, but they're going to see him in his revelation, the whole entire world. Now, turn to Revelation 19. And we're just almost, Robert, getting ready to teach you on the kingdom age. And so, look at Revelation chapter 19. Right now we're working on when does the kingdom age start? And it starts at the end when Christ comes. There'll be 7 years, and then Christ will come back. And when Christ comes back, that's when the millennium, the kingdom age, is going to start after Armageddon. Look at Revelation chapter 19 and look at verse 11. And I saw heaven open. Boy, I'm glad it's opening. Amen. It opened up in Revelation 4:1 too, by the way. It opens up and we went up. And then it opens up again. We come back down. It's amazing. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called faithful and true and righteous. He does judge and make war. Here he comes. This, see, the Jews, that's why the Jews didn't receive Christ the first time. They thought he was they were looking for their Messiah to be a conquering king. He came riding on a donkey. And he turned his cheek. That's why they couldn't realize. They said, oh no, we're looking for a conquering king. They're going to get their conquering king. And he's going to go through that eastern gate, just like he said he would. It's all walled up right now. But hallelujah, it's going to burst open when he comes back. Amen. That's exciting. Amen? Amen? His eyes were a flame of fire. His head were many crowns. And on it, and his name was written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't mess with it. Don't mess with the Word of God. Don't mess with the Word of God. And the armies, that's us, we that are saved. We're born again. We got brand new bodies now, Philip, when we're here. See, when we go up in the rapture, we get brand new bodies. So we're coming back. We got glorified bodies. We've been glorified. Amen? And the army, but the people on earth are still in natural bodies. But the church age saints, they got glorified bodies. Two different types of people there. Are you still with me? That'll get you thinking, won't it? And the armies which were to save people were in heaven with him, followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. With it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. See, Jesus now starting to set his kingdom up. Are you with me? And he treads the winepress in the fierce of the wrath, and he had on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That's Jesus. And I saw an angel stand in the sun. He cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowl of the midst of the heaven, come and dine. Come and gather yourself together under the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of the kings and the flesh of the captains. They say the blood's going to be so high. So many people, multi-millions and millions of people are going to be killed. They say in the scripture in Revelation, it says the blood is going to, like a river of blood is going to flow as high as a horse's bridle. Well, the horse's bridle is about 5 foot high. That's a lot of blood. That's a lot of people. And a lot of people are going to be killed. Hello? Yeah, I'm glad I'm on the winning side. By the way, I'm glad I'm right behind Jesus. He's doing all the fighting. We're just saying, sick him, get him. Get that dirty rat there. I remember him from California. Get that dirty rat. You know, it doesn't surprise me. They always talk, that California is so wicked. I really think they might fall in the ocean. I really believe that, man. They're so wicked out there. I was thinking about that. They were showing the map. I'm keyed up, so you just got to live with me right now. Every time during the election time, I get keyed up. You can't punch nobody, so you got to just stay calm. And they actually elected that idiot Jerry Brown. California deserves everything they get. That guy is next to an imbecile. An imbecile next to him looks sane. That guy's a moron, and they elected him. So they get what they deserve, amen? They really do. But I notice, if you ever look at the map of the people that vote Republican, it's all in the middle, all through. And the only outer evil baby killers that hate things of God are the people by the oceans. It's the East Coast, New York, and Maine, and are you with me? And California. I just think there must be something in that ocean air. I got thinking about that. They must be getting something from that ocean. That's something I can figure, you know? But anyways, Florida did great this year. Florida, they got rid of that loser crisp, and they put in a Tea Party guy. I'm excited about Florida. They didn't let that Gulf of Mexico bother them at all. We're all right there, Si. We got to get back to the Gulf because that's good water there. Anyways, what's that got to do with this? Probably not a whole lot, but I'm just getting the vent. And anyways, the Lord's coming back, and he's going to destroy all the people. All the armies are going to go against Christ. He's going to put them down, and he's going to set up a literal kingdom on this earth. Now, and so, when's it, number one, the question, when's it going to start? It's going to start right after Armageddon, soon as the battle's over, soon as Christ starts to set up his kingdom. Now, the second question, how long is it going to last? Look at Revelation chapter 20. By the way, the whole chapter 20 is all about the kingdom. It's look up here. Let me tell you, I came to teach, so you're going to be here probably to 7:30. So don't worry about the time. I'm in one of those modes where I want to teach people. So don't worry about the time. I'm just waiting on Jesus. Amen? The whole chapter 20, the whole chapter, it's all about the kingdom age. It's amazing. You got the tribulation before it, from 4 all the way to 19, and Jesus coming back in 19. Are you with me? Then 20 is the whole millennium, the kingdom age, 1,000 years. And then chapter 21 is eternity. It's really cool. I have it on your map, by the way. See, you got 1,000 years in the millennium, the kingdom age. You got at the end of the kingdom age, and we'll get to it, the white throne judgment. And then after that, Revelation 21, 1. New heaven, new earth. Hey, man. That's all, folks. It's all brand new. It's going to be exciting. No turning back. Amen? Well, let's look at chapter 20. I think I've covered that. It's going to be 1,000 years. And I saw an angel. How many got Revelation chapter 20? And it come down from heaven, having a great key, having a key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of that old dragon, that serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him. How many years did he bind him? 1,000 years. That's the length of the millennium, the kingdom age. By the way, we're going to read the first 6 verses. 6 times that word 1,000. 6 times that word 1,000 is used. God made man on the 6th day. And 1,000 years is to God like 1 day. And 1 day, 1,000 years. See, I'm what they call a numerologist. I do believe in numbers. And I like big numbers, especially when it comes in the offering. Amen. But, see, God made man on the 6th day, and 6 is the number of man. And 6,000, see, it's amazing how God, remember, how many days did God have for creation? 6, and the 7th day he rested. All right, you got 6,000 years. Are you with me? 6,000 years, and then the 7th day he rested, which is going... Are you with me? Isn't that exciting? Amen. And so, I really believe the Lord's going to come back in within 6,000. I know our calendar says it's 2010 right now, but I don't know exactly what God's calendar says. But in my heart, I can't prove this, but I believe that God's got a time. He's definitely got a time scale. I think in my heart, he will have 6,000 years. So We're probably a little bit less than 6,000, even though our Roman calendar says we are. Because I really think the millennium is going to start in the 6,000th year. It's going to last 1,000 years, which would be 7. And then when you start the new heaven, new earth, that's eternity. And 8, 8's a new beginning. So, how'd they get into that? It's good stuff, though, if you know what I'm talking about. Let's look, let preacher read this, and we'll get moving here. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit. And by the way, there's a difference between the bottom, there's a big difference between the bottomless pit and the lake of fire. And the bottomless pit is nothing near the lake of fire. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set him a seal on it. They should deceive the nations no more. Oh, Satan's going to get it, but right now, God's just trying to keep Satan from bothering the people. Kind of like a little detention center. Big detention center. Amen? But the punishment, he's reserved the great punishment for the lake of fire, which he's going to get at the end of this chapter. It's really cool. I love it. Man, I love reading it. I love seeing how it ends. It's so exciting. We win. Aren't you glad we win? Cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set the seal upon him not to see the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loose a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. Yep, during the trib, people that don't get the mark are going to get beheaded. They're going to institute that. They're already starting to do it. The guillotine. Don't be surprised when you read that over in the Europe and stuff, they're getting it all back. The guillotine's coming back, man. They'll have the guillotine in America. For all those that won't receive the mark of the beast. You say, well, preacher, what about us? We're not going to be here. Revelation 3:10 says, I'll keep you from that hour. Right. Revelation 4:1 says, come up hither. Yeah. We're going up, up, up. Yeah. Amen? But these are folks that didn't take the mark. Is held out and got saved and during the trib, and they got their head cut off, but they got saved. I'd rather get my head cut off and be saved forever than to be damned forever. It was only for a moment. It's only for a moment. Eternity's forever. And they were beheaded for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon his forehead or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ how many years? 1,000 years. And so, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed is the holy, he that had part in the first resurrection, on such a second death had no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So this kingdom age is 1,000 years. It's 1,000 years. Anyone tells you anything different, say, I don't know, God was pretty specific. He said it's 1,000 years. Amen? And by the way, just hold your hand there in Revelation 20, because I'm going to come right back. If you want to see about the bottomless pit, look at, is it 9? Chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. There's about seven times it's mentioned in the book of Revelation, the bottomless 9, 1, and 2. And the fifth angel, how many's got Revelation 9? Don't lose 20, though. It sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven, and the earth to him was given the key of the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of the great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit. Wow, you know we have those volcanoes? Remember Mount Helens, St. Helens? Remember how that ash came out so much it blacked out the sun and everything? That's what's going to happen during the trib. But now turn to Revelation 19. And if you'll notice in chapter 19, I didn't read it. The Antichrist, the false prophet and the beast. Let's see, verse 20. I'm in Revelation 19, verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image, these both were cast alive into the lake of fire. How many see that? So the Antichrist and that false prophet is going to be, I'm not saying it's the Pope, but it's going to be a religious figure. The false prophet, just like John the Baptist would say, behold the Lamb. John the Baptist pointed everybody to Jesus. The false prophet, always remember this. Everything that God did and everything that Christ did, Satan tries to duplicate. Yep. Yep. Jesus had John the Baptist. The Antichrist is going to have a false prophet, a religious leader, one that's going to try to tell the religious world, he's our leader. He's our God. Look to him. Are you with me? Huh? Well, I like what Christ did. Before he starts up his kingdom, he comes back, puts the whoop on all these armies, and then he says, where are those two jaybirds at? Come here. Come here, boys. You're done. Lake of fire. They're in there forever and ever and ever, burning. Oh, they're gonna burn forever. They go to hell before Satan does. 1,000 years before him. See, but Satan's not thrown there yet. He's just thrown in. See, the bottomless pit is in the heart of the earth. Yep. Lake of fire is not. How many are still with me? Two different places, two major differences. I wouldn't want to go to either one, but if I had to choose between one or the other, I'd take the bottomless pit. Yes. They're right now when people die. Right now when people die, they go to what the Bible calls torment. Luke chapter 16, in the heart of the earth. They're going to go to torment. At the white throne judgment, they're all going to be cast out into the lake of fire. Luke 16, the rich man opened up his eyes, what? Being in torment. Let me show you this. I didn't plan on that. I might not get done tonight. But we'll try. Okay, here's the earth. Here's the earth. In the center of the earth, there was two compartments. Write down the back of your Bible. Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. How many got that? There was two people that died. There was a beggar named Lazarus. He went in Abraham's bosom. Luke 16, verse 19 through 31. Lazarus died, and he went to Abraham's bosom. That's where all the Old Testament saints went when they died. Moses, Jeremiah, all that had faith in the coming Messiah. Then there was a place called torment. Verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, the rich man. How many see that? Now watch. This is the Old Testament. Nobody could go to heaven yet because Christ hadn't died yet. But after Christ died on the cross of Calvary, the Old Testament saints, the graves were opened up. And the Bible says in Ephesians that he led those that were captive out of captivity. The Old Testament saints, like Moses and all them, they left paradise. They left Abraham's bosom. That compartment now is empty. There's nothing in that compartment. It's empty. But everyone that dies that's lost goes to torment right now in the heart of the earth. They're going to go to the lake of fire at the end. I'll show you if I get to it. It's in the book of Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. But and we're almost there, Eddie. I think I'm at verse 6, so we're close. But now when a Christian dies, we go straight to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present. You're not getting it because I'm seeing your faces. I've taught you this since for 20 years. I've taught you this. How many of you know what preacher's teaching you? Okay. How come I'm looking like I'm in a twilight zone right now? But so the Old Testament saints went to paradise, but now they're all in heaven because Christ, the blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away our sins. It was just a covering. How many are with me? Then when Christ came, he's the captain and bishop of our souls. He made the appropriation for all people for all time. So now, Brother Mike, the moment a person dies and is saved, straight to heaven, straight to heaven. Their body and soul, their soul and spirit, the body waits for the resurrection, for the rapture. How many are still with me? Then at the rapture, the bodies are like, let's take my mama. I didn't plan on this, but someone needs to hear this. My mama's already died and went to heaven. My mama, your soul and spirit is just like, it's got fingers, ears, eyes. It's just like like Casper the Ghost, if I can use that as an illustration. But it can see, it can talk. It just doesn't have the flesh around it. My mama's in heaven right now. She's her soul and spirit are right there. She's saved, okay? Her body's back in the ground. At the rapture, that body's coming up out of the ground. And that body's going to be, unite with my mama's spirit and soul again. And she's going to have a brand new body. So are we. A body that never gets old, never sins, never dies. Hallelujah. How many are still with me? That's at the rapture. But all the lost people, they're waiting. The people die now, they're in the heart of the earth waiting in torment. That's why it says hell enlarges itself. Over in the book of Isaiah, it says hell keeps enlarging itself. How many are with me? See, hell and the lake of fire are two different things. That'll blow your mind. Don't get me on that. But they're similar as far as they're built for punishment. They're judgment. Okay? All right, let me go back and let's try to finish this up. I hope I'm not boring you. Okay, so it's 1,000 years. Then number three, what will it be like? What's the kingdom age going to be like? Now, there's hundreds of scriptures. I wrote down, I think, three or four. If you don't want to turn to them, just sit there and let me read them to you. I'm just going to give you a few thoughts. First of all, you got to understand, where's Satan during the millennium, during the kingdom age, where's Satan? He's bound. He's bound in the bottomless pit. Is he going to cause any more trouble for 1,000 years? No. So we've got 1,000 years without the devil. We've got 1,000 years without his demons. We've got 1,000 years where darkness is in the bottomless pit. Woo! Hallelujah. So we're going to have 1,000 years of peace and tranquility and love and mercy. How many are with me? I'm going to show you scripture how the animals, the lion and the calf are going to be together. It's going to be unbelievable. It's going to blow our minds. It's going to be phenomenal. No wars. They're going to burn down all their plows. There's not going to be any war to the end. At the end of the 1,000. Can I give you a few scriptures? And by the way, Israel is going to take their Messiah. When Christ comes back in the Revelation, remember we're coming back with him on horses? How many are with me yet? Israel is going to receive their Messiah then. So guess what? The main focus of the whole earth is going to be Jerusalem. And guess who's going to be top dogs? Those wonderful little Jews that people hate and persecute now. Because their Messiah, Christ, is back. And they have received their Messiah during the millennium. The kingdom. Are you still with me, church? It's going to be. And people are going to have to come into Jerusalem to worship. And if they don't worship, God will not give them rain and stuff. Yeah. Oh, it's already 7:15. I'm going to give you a few scriptures. Study about the kingdom. I'm telling you, it's going to be tremendous. Sis, you and we're going to be governors, and we're going to take care. We're going to have glorified bodies. We that are in the church age, we're going to have brand new bodies. There's going to be people that come through the trib that are going to have bodies like you and I, the Jews. Hello? Oh man, it's you say, I don't understand it all. I'm not worried about it because God's on the throne. And I know one thing, Billy, everything's going to be good. They said the desert's going to blossom. And it's already starting to blossom, by the way. But let me give you a few scriptures. If you don't want to turn to them, you don't have to. Let me just read to you a few scriptures. By the way, there's lots of them. But let me just read a few things about, and I'll turn over in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2 through 4. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it, and many people shall go and come and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. By the way, everybody be worshiping the Lord. Isn't that exciting? Amen. We're going to be on. See, he's just wiped out a whole wicked world. It's all believers. Until the natural people start having more babies. And people lived to be 1,000 years back. Well, let me keep going. And he will teach us his ways. We will walk in his paths. By the way, Miss Mert, for you and I in the millennium, the kingdom, it don't matter. We're in eternal bodies. It don't matter if it's 1,000, 1,500 billion. There's no time. How many realize what's going on here? Time, we've already passed out. We've got eternal bodies now at this time. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people and shall beat their... Look what they're going to do. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Wow. Going to be planting a lot of crops. Amen? Let me read to you from Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6 and 9. Isaiah chapter 11. The wolf, verse 6. Isaiah 11, verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell among the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. What would happen if the leopard lied down with the kid right now? He'd rip his face right off. And the calf and the young lion. The lion would eat that calf right now. Not during the millennium. Not during the kingdom age. And the fatling together with the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. And their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Wow. They got to eat something. They're not eating meat no more. Going back before it was in the Garden of Eden. They didn't eat meat in the Garden of Eden. I want to stir up your mind to think. And the suckling child shall play in the hole of the asp, that poisonous snake. And the weaned child shall put a hand on the cockatrice den, and they won't get hurt. Isn't that amazing? Now you get bit. And then they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What a statement. Now we have to propagate the things of Christ, Eddie. We got to beat it down through. The whole world's going to have it then. That's exciting. Boy, we'll definitely be in the majority then. It'll be great to be a fundamentalist then. Everybody's going to be fundamental. Isn't that cool? Amen, Brother Mike, the whole earth. Woo! They'll all be red. No blue. No Democrats. Amen? And so... Hard to be a Democrat in this church. I know it is. Let me read to you from Isaiah. But you got to quit voting for those devils. You just got to quit voting for them. And so you have to get bruised by the preacher. Or I'm hoping you, because if you don't, you're going to get bruised by God if you don't stop doing it. But Amos chapter 9, verse 13. I'm telling the truth. Preachers doesn't even got guts to say it. Yep, Amos. Let me just read to you in verse 13. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper and tread the grapes and that soweth the seed. In the mountains it shall drop sweet wine, and the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people, hallelujah, Israel. And they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink the vine thereof. And they shall also make the gardens that eat and fruit thereon. And I will plant them upon the land. And they shall no more be pulled out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. Israel, number one. Israel, not they're number one. They're number one. Amen. And let me give you one more. I'll do it from Micah. Micah 4, chapter 4. And verse 1 through 7. But in the last days it shall come to pass. By the way, there's hundreds of them. I'm going to stop after this. But in the last days it shall come to pass, the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountain, and it shall be exalted above. The people shall flow into it, unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of God. Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. We will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from where? Jerusalem. How many see that? From Jerusalem. That's why Satan's got the world hating Jerusalem now. That's why he's got them hating the people of Israel. He knows God, they're the apple of God's eye. He shall judge among people and rebuke the strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears and their pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. It just keeps on going. It's just a tremendous thing. Verse 7, he says, I will make her that hath halted a remnant, and her that was cast a far off strong nation, and the Lord shall reign over them in the Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. It's going to be exciting. And so God's going to establish the local government, and we are going to see a lot of planning and all kinds of good stuff happening. But let me show you what happens at the end. Go back to Revelation chapter 20, and I'll finish this out. There's a lot of great things going to happen during that thousand-year reign. It's going to be exciting. The Bible says on Revelation chapter 20, if you look at verse 7, and when the 1,000 years expired, Satan shall be loose out of his prison. He's going to let loose out of that bottomless pit, and shall go out and deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. Now, you read about Gog and Magog in Ezekiel 38. That's during the trib. Yeah, that's during the trib. That's right around Armageddon time. This is 1,000 years later. Every time you see Gog and Magog, though, they're going against the Lord Jesus. It's a notation of evil against God. Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, and the number is the sand of the sea. What's amazing to me, Brother Mark? I want you to think about this. I'm almost done. Here they've been with the Lord 1,000 years. They've had the teaching of Christ with them. He's on this earth with us. But Satan's so powerful. And these people that are going to be born during the millennium, the kingdom, from these people that came through the trib with the natural bodies, are you with me if I understand it right? How many are still with preacher? They're going to have children. In 1,000 years, you can make a lot of babies in 1,000 years, especially when no one's killing anybody in war. No disease. No abortion. Right? Think about it. There's going to be multitudes of people. Satan gets out, and he's so powerful. He gets these people, lots of them, to raise up against Christ. Isn't that sad? It just shows you how powerful Satan really is. We're no match for Satan by ourselves. But the Bible says, greater is he that's within me than he that's against me. I'm glad the Holy Spirit dwells in us. I'm going to close out. I'm trying to. And look at verse 9. And when they went up to the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints, the beloved city. What's that beloved city? Jerusalem. Fire came down from God out of heaven. Boy, you talk about putting a whoop, Eddie. Woo! And devoured them. He didn't take one prisoner. All that rebelled against God with Satan are destroyed. Then look what he does in verse 10. Oh, this is exciting. Then he takes old Slewfoot. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night. Look how long. Forever and ever. Wow. This is at the end of the millennium. This is at the end of that 1,000 years now. Then he doesn't stop. Now he's thrown the culprit of all evil, Satan. And then he turns to all mankind, whoever lived that died without Christ. Every person that died without Christ. And I saw a great white throne. How many see that? It's on your paper right there. And I saw a great white throne, and he that sat upon it, whose face the earth fled, and there was no, found no place for him. You couldn't hide and you couldn't run. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book were opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life. You better be found in the book of life. You better be found in the book of life. If you're not found in the book of life, you're going to be cast in the lake of fire. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. So what you got, Murd, is this. Every lost person, starting with Cain, because Adam and Eve were saved and so was Abel. From Cain on, whoever was born that did not know Christ as their Savior, every single person that ever was born that had a chance to be saved, little babies, they die and they're safe. But I'm talking about people that had accountability to know they're a lost sinner and knew they needed Christ as their Savior. Are you still with me? Like those people that are Hattie, where Bobby goes, Hattie Lorham. A lot of those, they don't have the knowledge yet to do that. So what would happen if they die? They go to heaven. They're safe. But once you're accountable, then you're not safe. You're going to be sorry if you're not saved. Amen? And so every person from the beginning of time, one by one, is going to be stand before God and be cast in the lake of fire. Wow. Whew. And then it says, that's the end of the millennium. And by the way, that 1,000 years over. Now we're starting to, I don't know how long that's going to take. But I know one thing. Look at the next chapter, chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. You know why? A new heaven, new earth. And I'm going to close. I got lots of stuff. It'll be for another day. That's one thing about preaching for 20 years. You can just pick up where you left off somewhere. You know why we got a new heaven, new earth? Because everything was sin cursed. And do you know what God's going to do with this old earth at the end of the millennium? He said he'd never destroy it by a flood, but he's going to burn it. Can you look at one more scripture with preacher? Look over there in, I think, is it 1 Peter or 2 Peter? 2 Peter chapter 3. Not too far from where you're at. And I promise I'll close. 2 Peter chapter 3. Pick up around verse 9. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise. I'm in 2 Peter 3:9, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. God don't want one person to go to hell. God never sent one person to hell. They sent themselves to hell because they didn't take Christ as their Savior. They rejected the gift of God. But all should come to repentance. Now watch. But the day of the Lord come, it's going to come. People say it's not, but it's going to come. Just like the flood came, what Noah said. Deep in the night in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, the works that are therein, shall be burned up. How many see that? Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved. Buddy, this thing is going to be completely burnt, destroyed, annihilated. What manner of persons you ought to be with all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Brother, he's going to purge the heaven. He's going to purge earth. He's going to give us brand new ones. There's no sin. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven, Revelation chapter 21, and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. How many see that? And so, after the millennium, we step out in eternity to a brand new earth, brand new heaven, a brand new beginning that we've never known, where people are going to have brand new bodies. Everybody. Are you with me? Hello? It's going to be exciting. And those that are in the eternity all put faith in Christ. There's no unbelievers in heaven. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be an exciting time. I'm just glad I'm going to get to go to it. It's not too far away, is it? Because when the rapture happens, then you only got 7 years of tribulation. We'll be up in heaven during that 7 years of tribulation. Then we come back, we start the kingdom age. Wow. What's exciting is this, Robert. 1,000 years is a lot. They sing a song. I think Grandma Sue sings it. 10,000 years.
And yes. Amen.
Isn't that exciting?
Amen.
Yep. Boy, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I know Christ is my Savior. I'm glad I read the back of the book, Billy. It's really exciting. In Revelation 21, 22, it talks all about heaven, all about eternity. Wes, when you get to Revelation 21 and 22, you and Barb have stepped out in eternity. You're out there, buddy, you're in heaven. I mean, heaven galore. Amen? You talk about heaven. I just want to find where the first Cracker Barrel is up there. No, I'm just kidding. Has to be one up there, Brother Mike. But we'll see. Just kidding, Lord. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting. Aren't you glad you're saved?
Amen.
I said this, and I want you, I'm done. I read you those things, and you read about it. And we say amen. And we say praise the Lord, and we sing about it. But do you really think about it? Let me challenge you to think about it. I think about it. I really do. I'm telling you, I think about it. And you say, well, you got silver hair. I thought about it when I had black hair. You ask my kids, I always talk about it. As I'll tell you, it's exciting. It's real. The one man said, heaven's out of this world. He's right. It is out of this world. It's way out. And boy, it says there in Revelation 21:1, new heaven, new earth. And then it gets down to verse 4. Look at I promise, I close. Everyone turn their Bible open again. Look at Revelation 21. And I give you my word, I'll stop after this. I promise. And I could keep going, Miss Mert. I've got enough in me right now where I could keep going. Have mercy, Lord. They're ready to die. You have to listen to the word of God. How many see Revelation 21:1? God saw new heaven, new earth. How many see that? And look at this, Eddie. Eddie, I want you to stand up, and I want you to read from verse 1 to verse 5.
Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away.
Yeah, because God burned it up. Go ahead.
And there was no more sea.
No. Nope.
And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men.
Yes.
And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people.
Yes.
And God himself shall be with them.
Yes.
And be their God.
Yes.
Verse 4.
Yeah.
God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
Yeah, we'll never cry again. We're probably got tears because we saw those people cast in a lake of fire in Revelation 20, verse 50. We probably got tears because we saw those lost people that are ones that we loved that didn't get saved go to hell. But God's going to wipe away those tears. Go ahead.
And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.
Stop now, because I'm going to. Verse 5 is phenomenal. How many can't wait to get to verse 4?
Amen.
I mean, to me, verse 4 is yabba dabba doo. I mean, a place where no more death, no more heartache, no more sorrow, no more pains and aches, no more sickness, no more cancer. Hello? Isn't that exciting? That excites me. And then God puts a stamp. He said, and I want you to know something about this place where there's not going to be no more sorrow, no more pain, and no more. You read verse 5. He said, I want you to write this thing down because these are faithful and these are true. Go ahead and read it, Eddie.
Revelation 21:5. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new.
Yes.
And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful.
Yes. Amen. Carl, when you and I were kids, they used to say, take it to the bank. God's saying to us, the old timers, trust me, you can take it to the bank. It's going to happen.
Amen.
The king's coming.
Yes.
The king is coming. I've got a thought, but I'll hold it. There is a time traveler there, by the way. John's a time traveler. I'm stopping, I promised you. Because he was back in 90 AD, and he saw things that are up in the 2000s. That's a time traveler. I'll bring it someday to you. You can explain it to Lizzie tonight, lady. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, thank you for the great promises of God. I get so excited. I just think about all the time you coming back. I think of you giving us brand new bodies. I think about seeing the loved ones that went before me. And I've had a lot of members of our churches that I've pastored. A lot of people that I really loved. They're in heaven now. They went before me. And I'm going to get to see them. And they're never going to have to. I'm never going to say goodbye again. And I'm going to a place where Jesus says, I make all things new. Wow. Heaven's going to be so wonderful, Lord. Thank you for the streets of gold, the pearly gates. Thank you for letting us be with you out throughout our ever and ever and ever. Just beyond, I can't grasp it. I can't even embrace the greatness of it. But I believe every word you tell me. And I want to thank you ahead of time. I believe every word you've told me, Father. And I look forward to that day when it happens. And I know it will. It will come to pass. I pray for everyone here today that they would have the joy of heaven in their life. And I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that they would realize that they must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Before we go home tonight, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure. I know for sure that I'm saved. There was a day I saw myself a lost sinner, and I've asked Christ to save me. And I know if I died or the rapture, I'd go up, I'd be with Christ. Who could raise their hand and say, I know for a fact. I know for a fact. Thank you. God bless you. Is there anyone tonight pretty good crowd here. And would say, Pastor, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm really not sure if the rapture happened, and it could happen when I'm even talking, that I'd go to heaven, that I'd be caught up together in the clouds. I don't know if I'm really going to go to heaven when I die, and I'd sure like to know for sure. I'd sure like to know for sure when I die to heaven. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Raise your hand. I won't come to you. Won't embarrass you. Anyone like that? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'd sure like to be. I'd sure like to know. The Bible says these are written that you might know that you have eternal life. He that the Son hath life. He that not the Son of God hath not life. Don't get caught up in church. It's not a Baptist church. It's not a Catholic church. It's not a Lutheran church. It's not any kind of church. No church can get you to heaven. Only Christ. It's all Jesus. Nothing else. Turn your eyes upon Christ. Receive Him as your Savior. You'll walk in the splendor of heaven. Father, I just pray now you'll bless this invitation. Encourage those that are discouraged. And if there's anyone that doesn't know you, Holy Spirit of God, draw them to Christ. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.